wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora, Joe. How are we going?
I am super great. Thank you for asking.
Oh, amazing. What have you got planned for us this week?
Well, I thought we should go with a theme episode.
Wow.
Are you excited?
Yes. We've never been so excited.
Wow. That is a high bar that we have just reached. So my question to you, were you following along with the hit TV program / video game, The Last of Us?
Yes. Okay, we have
my
one.
My answer is yes.
I'm unfortunately behind the times.
Well, that's okay. I'll give you a brief rundown.
Okay.
It's about a fungi that infects everyone.
Ooh.
Kind of like a zombie type of thing. So if you remember from our Halloween episode of last year, where we talked about zombie ants.
Yes, I do remember that.
So it's based on that specific type of fungi, a cordyceps, that actually controlled these ants and basically propagated itself throughout a colony.
Oh my. That's bad.
Yeah, so the idea is it takes that and it transfers to humans. Of course, this is all fictional. That's not really possible at this point. But it got a lot of people thinking about fungi and, you know, some people trying to back off right now. Mushrooms not that hot, a little scary.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen The Last of Us, you might understand why it could be.
A bit scary.
I love a good mushroom.
I have to admit, I have done my sort of concerned research after watching a few episodes.
That is so interesting. So it can turn ants into zombies, not humans yet.
No.
No, we don't really have much to worry about that.
We don't.
In that field. Well, never say never, of course, but...
Oh, it's science.
But for now, let's just think about how cool fungi actually are. They're getting a bad rap right now, and I think we need to list some fun facts of some of the stuff they do for us.
So we're doing some fungi PR today.
Fungi PR. So first of all, do you ever like to drink a beverage after work, for instance, a wine or a beer or a whiskey of sort?
I'm partial.
Well, you can thank fungi because the yeast that actually creates these drinks is a fungi.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, party fungi right there.
It eats up the sugar, doesn't it?
It does. It eats up the sugar. Turns it into ethanol, which you then imbibe. But fungi are actually, they're not plants. A lot of people, because they grow in forests, they're not plants, they're not animals, but they're actually genetically closer to humans than they are to plants.
Yeah, it's a little bit freaky.
But it's a fun fact.
It is fun. It is very fun.
A fungi fact.
That is a fungi fact.
Oh, we did it. Cross that one off of our jokes for today.
I've been waiting for that one.
But if you've seen the intro to The Last of Us, they actually have like this slime mold that's like yellow and it kind of expands meters and meters. And that's actually a type of mold, but it's weird because that's actually one cell and they can grow meters long. And they're actually can like solve mazes and find the path, the shortest distance between two points.
That is amazing.
And they don't have a brain.
It's one cell.
One
and it can figure
huge
out a maze.
Cell with no brain that can figure out a maze.
Is that kind of like jellyfish? Because aren't they like heaps of mini organisms or something? And one jellyfish?
Let's stick to fungi for this particular episode. That's a future episode.
All right. We'll have to talk jellyfish next time. But that's a type of mold.
That's a type of mold, but that was in the intro. So we had to cover it because it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. I wish flat mold was like that in all our rental properties. Come on.
What, sentient flat mold?
All right, well, let's get back to fungi here. And what they actually do in the forest themselves. because when you see the mushrooms, that's actually just like the reproductive bits. Most of it is actually underneath the ground. Huh? And it can have tentacles per se that go half a football pitch long.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an underground forest. And what they do is they actually, they're like a nutrient highway. So they can actually pass carbon from trees to trees. So big trees can help out little trees to help out the forest. Hmm. But when we think trees in a forest, we think trees, right? Mm. But it's the fungi that are actually doing some of the heavy lifting here. Because what they're doing is they're actually dictating what trees can grow, because what they'll do is they'll break down the nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus and give them to the trees that can't necessarily get them themselves. But what they also do is they suck on those trees and they actually kind of eat off them. So trees will do their photosynthesis, create the carbon from the air into like sugars, and the fungi will just latch onto those.
So they can give and take.
Oh, they do that. And in fact, they're kind of the farmers of the forest. Because without the fungi, the trees, or that specific type of tree, wouldn't exist.
Wow.
That's very cool.
So they're doing the heavy lifting in the forest.
These tiny little, well.
Well, actually massive.
Massive underground fungi. But what you see are just these, you know, the reproductive bits, and humans, we like to focus on those, of course.
True. It's a human thing.
Yeah.
Right. So what other amazing things are they doing?
So there's actually been some recent research on these specific types of things with fungi, and they're actually good at mercury sequestration.
Wow.
So mercury is a toxic heavy metal. It's not good for plants. It's not good for people. But what these researchers just found in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences journal, also known as PNAS.
I mean,
it's clearly a quite popular journal, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they found is when they were growing crops, when they were infected by this particular type of fungi, it was able to protect the crops from the mercury, which gives hope that you might be able to grow these crops in contaminated soil if they have the right fungi with them.
Yeah, because it's no good with mercury in the soil.
Mm.
But we've got little helpers, maybe.
Potentially, yes, little helpers. And what they did is they genetically modified, because they found the right genetic slices that did this, so they could actually take it and put it in other types of fungi and were able to get the same result.
That's amazing.
Wow, multiple fungi. It's a party.
A big time party.
And what else have they got up?
Well, we also have another recent published paper in the same journal of PNAS.
Love it.
That was looking at land use. And so we're talking about edible fungi. So there's also been some research that shows that fungi can actually help deliver iron to some of your crops, which could help them, help people that eat them as well.
Wow.
So they're really good at nutrients in the soil. But this paper was, again, looking at an edible type of fungi called Lactarius deliciosus.
Delicioso.
Maybe misnamed, because apparently it's not that delicious.
Yeah, no.
Disappointing.
But it is edible.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So.
And it can fortify with iron.
Different study. But the one I'm trying to get at here is it might be able to be used to help climate change.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
So forests are kind of threatened right now, especially like the Amazon, where they're doing a lot of deforestation to create land use change for things like cattle farming.
Mm.
So they're trying to take down trees to create food on that land, more or less. But what this paper is suggesting is that we might be able to actually just do mycoforestry, so that's planting fungi, right? Planting mushrooms, and then harvest those mushrooms and eat them, and we can save those forests, which could have a net overall negative carbon balance.
Yeah, because obviously it would create that symbiotic relationship with the forest itself.
Right.
And then we got food.
And then we got food.
This is a win-win-win situation.
There are some drawbacks because it's not terribly efficient use of that land for food production only. But overall, the idea is there is potential for a negative carbon emissions from that food, which would be, of course, unique.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Fungi, they're pretty fun, right?
What a wonderful world.
All right, so let's transition to another fun topic. And when you think of mushrooms, this is probably the first thing that comes to your brain.
Mario?
Well, as we talked about previously, the Mario mushroom is indeed psychedelic.
I love it. Oh, yes, the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
But mushrooms and fungi are actually extremely useful from a medical standpoint. So there's actually a battle out there of fungi between bacteria. There's a major battle. And that's where we get a lot of our antibiotics, things that fight bacteria, from fungi. So like penicillin. There's also been drugs that have been to treat high cholesterol or even organ transplants. Why those can exist is because of things derived from fungi.
Wow. So they're brave little soldiers as well.
They're looking out for us, actually. They're not trying to kill us one by one.
As a certain show would have us think.
So there'd be a lot of new drugs being developed from fungi, right?
Constantly. People are constantly on the search for new different types of fungi. In fact, here in New Zealand, we have very unique fungi, and they estimate only about third of them have ever been discovered.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we'll just roll this right into our psychedelic. So the psilocybin, which is the active component of our magic mushrooms, they've recently done a clinical trial looking at the treatment of cluster headaches or migraines, people who constantly get migraines. And so they did a preliminary study. It was really small, only like 14 participants, but it was randomized, placebo-controlled, and double-blind. So that is the highest standard for a clinical trial.
Gold standard.
The gold standard. So randomized means that you don't get to pick which side is going to be in control, which side is in placebo. It's all random. It is placebo-controlled, meaning half of them take the drug, half of them take something that's not the drug. And then double-blind means that the participants have no idea what they're taking, but also the researchers studying them don't have any idea who took what, so there's no bias involved.
Wow. And what were the findings?
The findings were that after 3 weeks of taking just three small doses, so not even enough to give you that psychedelic trip, quote unquote, but they found that there was actually a reduction in about 3 migraine instances per week just by taking psilocybin.
It's amazing.
That's so fascinating.
Did you see that show on Netflix about microdosing? And they talked about LSD and psilocybin and the effect. It was really interesting. And it sort of touched on some of the things you mentioned.
Right. So there are a lot of potential, but there's also a lot of, I guess, fiction involved with this type of a lot of anecdotal evidence. So that's where this study wants to do, is to try to understand what are some of the facts. So a preliminary study, of course, and obviously a much bigger sample size is needed, but potential.
Because cluster headaches and migraines, they're such a mystery to researchers, you know?
Exactly.
They're just so blind. But there you have it. Brave little soldiers, fun little guys.
Pretty much everything you could ever want.
Yeah, they're not as bad as you think. Calm down.
They are a lot of fun. They know how to party.
They do. They sure do. All right. Well, thank you, Mota. And thank you, Joel, for this enlightenment.
Thank you, Joel.
Party on.
Party on.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.